and welcome to the Playdate podcast. I'm Ben. I am a freelance writer. I've written for Zam. I've written for Killscreen. I've written for The New Inquiry and Strange Horizons.
And Q-Rock.
And I write a zine about country music, which is not particularly relevant to this conversation that's about to happen. And my co-host...
Hi, I'm Bella. I don't really write anything, but I make video games. Occasionally. I'm mostly making just one video game right now, but... Yeah.
And you have a fig campaign?
I do have a fig campaign right now. It's for my game Little Bug. We're really close to the funding goal, but you can go check it out on fig.co. And pledge, because we really need it.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I'm so bad at this assertiveness thing that comes along with a crowdfunding campaign. It's like not set up for a person like me, but...
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You'll get very assertive very soon.
I mean, it comes in waves. Like, some days I'm just like, on the email thing, like I drink a cup of coffee and I'm just like good, and I just like send out a bunch of emails, I get like one response back and it's fine. And other days I'm just like, I just don't want to talk to anybody, especially about like promoting a game of mine.
I've heard about this not talking to anybody thing, and I think I've become kind of a master at it.
Yeah,
it's a rare skill. Not many people can truly achieve.
I don't know. I think it's pretty easy to do.
Well, thanks for blowing all my self-esteem. Welcome to the Playdate podcast. You may know us as the co-hosts of Playdate. You probably don't, though. Playdate is a pop-up arcade at the LA Zine Fest.
Yeah.
And we are here to not talk about that at all. And instead, to talk about the good bundle.
No, we'll talk about it a little bit. But we'll talk about it after, because we're going to have submissions pretty soon for Playdate.
Sure.
So we'll talk about it afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess we can talk about it at some point.
Yeah. But let's move on. Let's stop talking about it. Let's not talk about the time we wasted talking about it and just move on and talk about something.
The good bundle.
Okay. Yeah, the good bundle from Itch.io.
Yeah. It was what was the occasion?
Oh, I don't know. It was like last November.
I can't remember what happened.
What happened last November? Shit.
There's nothing just coming to mind.
No.
Nothing that has impacted.
Well,
anyone.
And yeah, so a bunch of creators on Itch.io last November got together and put out. I didn't actually like. I want Itch.io. I didn't actually see people put out the word for this. Otherwise, I definitely would have done it. But they just were like, submit your, or like, give us your game. We're gonna put it in a bundle, and it's gonna. The bundle was, it was like an incredibly good deal. It was like 120 games for $20. A lot of games were free, and you could just download them anyway. But the bundle came with games that are like $20 themselves, and a lot of really great games, like Nuclear Throne, Gone Home, Read Only Memories was in there.
And all of the proceeds, I think, went to the ACLU?
And Planned Parenthood.
And Planned Parenthood, yeah.
So it was truly a good bundle.
It was the goodest bundle.
It was the goodest bundle, and now I have 120 games to play, which I think is why we were doing this podcast. I think, one, because Ben and I talk about nonsense anyway, so like we were like, why not just plug ourselves into mics and share it with the world? So, but yeah, so that's what we're going to be talking about. I think I should probably really quickly just go into like how I generally approach playing games, because there's so many different kinds of games on Itch.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And generally, and Itch on, and Game Jolt, Steam, like they're all places that you should kind of, I mean, you don't need to do anything, but I kind of go into it in a certain mindset, whether I like it or not.
Right.
And so for me, like, I go in kind of thinking to myself, like, I don't know anything about this game. I'll give it 5 minutes. I have like a 5 minute rule. Like, I give it 5 minutes. And if by 5 minutes I want to keep playing, I'll keep playing. And if not, then I'll just drop it. And for me, that is really nice because I think a lot of times, like, I have a pretty short attention span. Like, it's like I'll play a game and like not really be into it. And then like it clicks like sometimes 2 hours later or like 3 minutes in, and I could have quit it like 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you know. It's just interesting.
Really quick, you mostly play like strategy games. Would you say it that way? I guess.
I feel like you play a lot of
first person shooters. Like, you, I feel like you either sink a ton of time into games or you try them and are like, I got what I need out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a fair assessment. Like, I don't really have a lot of I'm definitely that person that would be in like that one diner, like every whatever, like every like 3 days or something to get like my morning cup of coffee at the same place.
Right.
Like, I definitely, like, when it comes to video games, like, I find my comfort zone and I feel comfortable there. And I think it's because I am like so picky that when I find something I like, it like really feels good.
And that's there's a nicer coffee shop out there, but Team Fortress 2, like, yeah, they have really reliable coffee.
And hats. I feel like you can't say TF2 without adding hats, so I'm just doing that.
It's you can't say Steam without adding hats at this point, so
yeah, what is this? 2012 or when did hats even become a thing?
Hats.
We don't need to talk about this at all.
Well, earbuds became a thing in TF2 in like 2014, I think.
That's when they ported it for Mac, that's why.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is the year true?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
That sounds about right though.
Okay.
Cause I remember I had a Mac and I was like super into it. I was like, oh cool, I can play Team Fortress on my Mac. But
and then you were like, I have these Apple earbuds that 6 years later will cost $3 million.
How much are they actually though?
I don't know. The last I checked in, they were the official currency, or the very unofficial currency of TF2. Hmm. They were not worth a thing, but they were the baseline.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you could sell anything based on having them, rather than...
At one point in time, it was like...
Dollars.
It was like cows and horses, and now it's earbuds. Digital earbuds.
There are cows and horses in TF2?
No, I'm talking about like in human history. Were you joking?
No. I've never played TF2 before.
There are no cows or horses in Team Fortress 2, come to think of it, but.
So, we're gonna start by talking about this game. I don't remember the name of the developers, but the game is called Takeshawa is Dead.
Yeah, we should... Hold on. Why don't you start? I'm just going to look up the developers really quick. I have them all here, so we can just check it out.
So, it's called Takeshawa is Dead. It's part of the Good Bundle. It's a 3D platformer?
Yeah, it's 3D platformer.
It says
AndrewBrophy.net. Sorry to interrupt. AndrewBrophy.net, so like maybe that's the person. But
Andrew Brophy. Yeah. Andrew Brophy's Takeshawa is Dead.
Yeah.
Is a 3D platformer. I wouldn't say puzzle. I don't remember any puzzles really.
It was some light puzzle work. It definitely was like getting to the point where it could be puzzly. But I think
right.
But I think like I was sort of more just getting frustrated with the controls more than I was actually like, I think the game was like really, really, I don't want to say charming because that sounds like
it was charming,
like snotty, but like it was charming. Like it was like, if it has like a kind of feel, I don't want to say like Katamari because it doesn't, but like it felt weird, and also the way that the characters kind of looked maybe reminded me of it a little bit. But it had like the same sort of like bizarre kind of like, or maybe it didn't at all. I don't know. I did appreciate its kind of like innocent weirdness. Like it didn't seem like it was trying to be weird. It seems like it just like happened that way. And it, sure. and it seemed to work. Like visually, like it's sort of like the little world they created, even though it was like super simple and like no story or whatever. Like I was still just like interested to be there for a second.
I would bet there's a bunch of story that neither of us kind of got to. So this game is a 3D platformer where you use the arrow keys to move. You use WASD to move the camera. So the camera moves like if you hit A, it shifts left. If you hit D, it shifts right.
It's kind of like a really frustrating version of like WASD and mouse, in a sense. Well, not really.
It actually felt kind of familiar to me, as someone who played a lot of EverQuest doesn't do this, but it sort of feels like older games in that way where WASD wasn't a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But also like camera control wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
So those games didn't really have to deal with that, but there is a sense of like, yeah, you move around and you shift the camera like in increments.
Yeah.
Like that almost makes sense.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I think the only thing I really want to say is that it didn't really, like, I didn't get more than 5 minutes. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to play farther than that. Like, there were just too many times. I think, like, as somebody who's really obsessed with, like, for me, I'm really obsessed with making character movement work, or whatever your movement is. Like, whether you're moving in between menus, moving in between, like, platforms, moving in between, like a vehicle to the ground. Like, whatever your flow is, like, I'm just really, like, that concerns me a lot.
Right.
And, like, this just didn't really do that. Because, like, you would like move the camera, you'd walk a little bit, you just like fall off the edge, and you'd be like, great. Like, yeah. I just felt like interrupted a lot, like unnecessarily, which was a bummer, because like I would have liked to sort of explore more, but I just kept falling off too much.
It's also like, it just aesthetically, it looks like the kind of game that you can't fall off the edge of.
Yeah.
Like it's the kind of game where like all of the platforms you're walking on are very flat. You are a basically 2D character, like you're 3D, but it's all very simple shapes.
Yeah.
And it looks like if you walked up to the edge of it, there would be an invisible wall.
Yeah.
And like, then you like walk up to the edge of it, and then you fall off, and you have to start over.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's frustrating. It's frustrating because, like, yeah. I think it's the kind of game where I would just kind of want to walk around and explore a little bit. But anyway, maybe we should move on to the next one.
Hold on. I have more grievances to air. It's a game that sort of introduces puzzles in a very, I want to say a very bad way, but I also want to say that I hate puzzles.
Yeah.
I just really don't like them.
Yeah.
So I got to a point where you are doing a jumping puzzle with spikes. When I got to that point, there was no learning how to do that puzzle ahead of that puzzle. It was like, you learned how to walk around in this world. You learned how to turn the camera. You learned how to avoid the spikes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there was a, like, I don't know, 4x4 grid of blocks, some of which had spikes on them, that you just kind of had to jump through.
Yeah.
And there was no way of being like, is there a way to lower these spikes? Is there a sequence I need to do to like get through this?
Yeah.
There was just kind of nothing. It was like, cool, I'm just going to jump around and die a bunch because the jumping's bad.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that that's just like, I think that's something that I can forgive games on like Itch.io and Game Jolt for and other sort of like smaller games is because like, even though I'm standing there going like, clearly this is, they should have said something about this. That's kind of me being like, well, they didn't have playtesters. You know, they didn't have anybody there to be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Because if they had somebody said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here, they probably would make it more obvious, you know? And like,
but they don't always need to make it more obvious.
Well, making it more obvious can mean a lot of things. Making it more obvious can mean that you put a lead up to it so that it becomes obvious by the time you get there. Or it can mean really badly designing it and putting a sign that says, don't touch the spikes, like watch out or whatever. But like,
sure.
But I mean, I think those sort of things, I kind of give people a pass because I'm just like, well, you know, they're probably learning and they're probably like, didn't really have like this. It just seems like a kind of a mistake that like could be avoided if they had playtesting. And I feel like putting these games up on these sites is a playtesting of sorts. If that's what you want to do, if you want to listen.
Sure. But also,
but I agree with you.
No, I mean,
that it was frustrating.
No, that's a very good point. And one I take to heart, but also playtesting kind of doesn't mean shit if people aren't honest about it.
No, not at all. I mean, that's a whole other thing though. Cause to get people to playtest like in an honest way and to get good feedback and get feedback and also know what feedback actually matters. That's like a whole, like, I don't even, like, that could take a whole other episode, I'm sure.
Sure, but, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, I want to be honest with these games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we can give them excuses. We can talk about what we see as their shortcomings, or, like, the shortcomings of the platform that they're on, or anything like that, but also just be like, this didn't feel good. Or, like, that was kind of a shitty sentiment that they expressed here. Or like excuse them for the things that they are not intending to have problems dealing with, but also do that after we've just said you fucked up here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
So, tangent.
Expand.
Expand.
Expand
is a platformer that is based on a circular shifting environment. And the puzzles are actually these really sort of like pretty dancing, like the puzzles themselves are interesting, but they're not as interesting as like just watching them sort of move around and like how they, like, I actually think that one of my favorite things to do, like one of the rewards of this game, is you move in a circular sort of pattern the whole game, because the whole game is like circle based, and it's flat 2D. And I think one of the biggest rewards of the game is to like get to the next puzzle, because instead of it like loading a new level and you just starting at the beginning, the whole scene will kind of like shift to create the new puzzle, and then you have to sort of follow it. And sometimes as you're moving, the puzzle will like, the scene in front of you or like the new shapes will like reveal themselves and the puzzles will shift. And it's kind of an interesting thing, because I feel like a lot of, like, I'm just picturing the designer there, and I'm picturing them being very, very, very good at math and very, very organized, because I would never be able to organize something like this. And it just is really interesting for me to watch, because even though I can like sense this of this person, it doesn't feel like a programmer game, you know?
Right. So like the basic path of the game is like you start in a corner of the game, or of the circle, which is counterintuitive. And then you move to another corner of the circle, which is to say there is a small area that is very clearly the end. Which is weird, because the entire game is entirely black and white with a little bit of red. Like, there's no, like, color coding. There's no, like, anything aside from you just kind of following the path.
There is some text that'll tell you what to do. Like basic tutorial UI.
Yeah, there's the tutorial, and then there is the level names. Those are the only pieces of text, I think.
Yeah.
But each level consists of, let's say, like, 6 or 7 puzzles. And each of those puzzles is very clear where you need to go from the outset, pretty much. And if not from the outset, from the conclusion of the loading screen. Which is a... It feels like a loading screen. There's no loading screens. It's like the level starts to populate, and then it sort of wipes like a clock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really pretty game. It's really pretty in just watching the shapes. Like, it feels like it has a life, like the environment does. Where I think a lot of platformers can kind of feel static or very like, oh, there's that, you know, platform that just moves back and forth again. And I think it was really interesting to see like this like area that's surrounding you, that's this like circular area that you're going to be in the whole entire game, but it like feels really alive and really different and changing, which is cool. Like, I don't really see that a lot. Yes.
I feel like I'm dancing around my frustrations with this game. Like, trying to talk about it in ways that don't indicate how angry... not even angry, just, like, annoyed and uninterested it made me at certain points.
Yeah.
So, I got through... So, okay.
Well, I mean, I think that for me, like, what made me want to keep playing wasn't that I thought that the gameplay was exceptional. Because I didn't think it was. Like, I thought that it was kind of a little slow, and like, I didn't really feel like there were certain points where I like wasn't exactly sure what to do, and I sure. would sort of get trapped in places that I didn't think I was supposed to really be in, or like,
right.
it just didn't really feel satisfying, like the gameplay at all. But what kept me going was that it was like the sort of the level design, and the level design wasn't honestly the best. But it was really interesting what they tried. And that's why I wanted to keep playing. Because I wanted to see how like each level would sort of like form into the next part. Even though they weren't like the best level designs, in my opinion. But
Okay, my favorite thing about this game. After you get through the tutorial, there's an open world. It is an open world fucking circular puzzle game. With two colors.
Yeah.
Three colors. It's weird. So like the first place I went was left. I went to the left outlet and I started those series of puzzles. And I think I went through all of them pretty easily. And then I finished them and I got the little piece and I came back to the central hub. And then I went down and I went through, I think, 2 or 3 puzzles, and then I hit one that I think I hit one of the gray buttons, and I opened a thing, and then I had to go backwards. And I had to go back, like, 2 puzzles, and then go into a different entrance, and then get back to that puzzle that I had changed. And then proceed. And I was like, this is... like, I wanted to like the game up to that point, and then
I liked the game. And then Wait, and then you liked it?
Yeah. Oh. And then I was like, oh, there is something here other than just like solve these puzzles I've made,
yeah.
Player.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, whatever. Fuck that. But it was like, I mean, it's still that. It's still like, oh, go through this sequence and then hit this button and then go backwards and go through it again.
Yeah.
But it feels more like you're actually in a place when you do that.
Yeah.
Less like, hi, I've designed a puzzle. Can you figure it out? No. Well, you're bad.
Yeah.
And I went through that and then I completed that sequence and then I went through the next one and was like, why are you introducing stealth mechanics into this black and white game?
You don't like gray areas, do you?
I don't. I really like the idea of stealth games and I hate playing them.
I don't think we should go on a tangent, but yeah, we could talk about that later. Shall we continue? Okay, so anyway.
So our next game is called Social Justice Warriors.
Social Justice Warriors. And I think I'd first like to start off with, I have not gone into a lot of like online battles with people before, which I think is really fortunate, but like a lot of the jokes and a lot of the this is all about like there's basically two computers facing each other, and there's two like sort of pixely characters that look exactly the same. They're actually just like two white pasty white dudes, so they like the troll looks like you and you look like the troll, and I'm not sure if that was the point or if they got lazy with art. Probably they got lazy with the art, but
it's silhouettes. It's not specific people. It's just kind of like here are pixel people fighting on the internet.
So there's two pixel people that look identical fighting each other on the internet, and they're facing each other kind of almost like in their like they're in their own little like pens or something. Like they're getting ready to go.
There is a very severe column in the middle that has nothing in it.
Right. So you basically are facing off of this troll and you like throw arguments at them and they retort with arguments, and their sort of like attacks will be like you swiftly strike down the troll's premise with a well reasoned example. So it's all kind of, instead of like you use like lightning bolt and it whatever's it like sizzles their nose hairs or something, it's like instead it's like you use this literary thing and like this debate tactic and like beat them, or like they move the goalpost, or like they gaslighted you or whatever.
Right.
So it's all about sort of like debating a troll. And I think a lot of it bounced off on me because I wasn't so like this isn't.
So it's a JRPG battle basically. It's turn based.
That's another thing is like I didn't play a lot of JRPGs, so like I'm like what.
So the game specifically has. Well, you can choose from four initial characters, I think. It's like the Social Justice...
Paladin.
Paladin.
It's like a Social Justice Paladin.
Social Justice Cleric, Social Justice Bard, and Social Justice Rogue, I think, are the four.
Yeah.
And they each have, like, slightly different stats. And once you choose them, you go into battle. And it's just a series of basically random battles where you... Random in the sense of there is no exploration. It just means I think your first fight is against the internet troll, and maybe your second, and then like the third is against the popular troll, and then like the fourth and fifth like sort of expand on those ideas. But you have four moves. You have 2 meters. So you have your patience meter and your reputation meter.
Yeah.
And your moves attack the enemy's patience or reputation, and some of them drain your own.
Yeah. That was like a sacrifice.
Yeah. So there is like a lot of a lot of the idea of management going on. From having played this with, I think, three of the four characters, maybe all four of them, maybe once each, except for maybe once or twice with a couple of them, it doesn't really feel like there's a way to actually manage the things.
Yeah.
Like, you have resources and you're not allowed to manage them. Kind of feels like how this game plays.
Yeah. It seems like there wasn't a lot of time spent on... It seems like the most of the time of this game was spent on the writing and not really on, like, the... the point system. The point system seems like an afterthought. Which is funny because, like, mostly... I think that, like... I mean, that's just, like, what it seemed like to me. Because it was so, like... Like, it almost was like, you know, we should probably have a point system that goes along with these, or else it's just going to be, like, a funny, like, dialogue swap. But if you make it a point system, then it kind of turns it into more of a game. And so, like, I think the point system was there to... And it did. And I think it, like... What?
I mean, it turned it into a game to the point where you button through the dialogue.
Yeah.
Because you're like, did my attack hit or not?
Yeah.
And if it didn't, like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And if it did, like, that also kind of sucks because you still lost your shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's... Like, so the social justice cleric has a move that gives back both patience and reputation. You get +4 to each if you use that move. Most moves your enemy uses, even the first enemy who has the weakest attacks, take at least 5 or 6. So I just tried. I was like, what does this look like if I just spam? It's like a pray to your god move, but your god is r/whatever, like a Reddit thread. So you go to Reddit to like pray as a social justice cleric.
Uh-huh.
And even like spamming that against the very earliest enemy meant I lost very quickly. And you don't like upgrade your moves. So like spamming it against your first enemy is the best you can possibly do.
Yeah. I mean, I think like I would take this game again as the size that it's supposed to be. Like, for what it's supposed to be. Like, I feel like...
I feel like I'm doing that, though.
I guess. But, like, I don't think that there's... I think that they should have taken stuff away and not really added anything. Like, I think they should have spent... Like, those point... Like, the point system was, like... It was pointless, in my opinion. Like, I think...
That was pretty good.
It wasn't. But I think that they could have sort of...
I think it was pretty good.
The point system?
Being pointless.
Oh, being pointless, yeah. I think they could have done better to, you know, make it about what you were saying and not really, like... Like, because I couldn't tell what they were trying to... Like, they seem to be on the side of... Like, it seems like they're trying to reclaim social justice where... Or, like, at least trying to be, like, yeah, we...
Yeah.
You know, like, that definitely was... Seemed to be where they were coming from. But at the same time, it also seemed like they were sort of, like, trivializing it. Like, I didn't really get their angle a lot.
I guess, I mean, I'm coming at this from the point, I'm assuming a lot of things going into this. Like, yeah. I'm assuming that this is a game about thinking it's good to shit on anonymous trolls on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is a game that thinks it's good to fuck up Nazis. Like, I think this game sort of generally... has my politics in a lot of ways.
Yeah. No, I feel that too, but I also felt like it wasn't that strong in like its message, like in sort of just like, yeah, we know they do that. Like, what are you? I didn't feel like it was adding anything to the conversation really.
I mean, so the thing I like about it is I actually really like the two bars. I like the idea that the things you have to deal with when you are fighting trolls on the internet is your patience and your reputation.
Which is real.
Because it's like, how much are people going to believe me? And how much time am I willing to spend on this without losing my fucking mind?
Yeah.
Like, those aren't the only concerns, but those are two of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
And I like that that is reflected in the other person, because it doesn't sort of like, it doesn't fall to the idea of like, oh, anonymous people on the internet are just bad, because anonymity is bad. Like, everyone on the internet has...
So what you're saying is you think it's good that, like, the other person has... Like, the troll that you're fighting has the same stats as you and looks the same as you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a legitimate argument to make.
Yeah.
Is, like, people are people on the internet, and they're affected.
Yeah.
I think the way it makes that argument isn't great.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's very cleverly written in a lot of ways, but yeah. I don't think that cleverness is really helpful sometimes.
Totally not. Yeah. I think this is kind of like a fantasy world where like, where I think this game is really expressing a lot of frustration with like, I'm saying all the right things, but nothing's happening. Or like they're still winning because they're a troll. Like that is a little bit of what it felt like to me. But again, like this is me coming from a point of like not engaging with a lot of trolls because like I just know that that's where it's going to go. And like most of the time we'll just refuse to do it because my patience meter is basically at zero when I start these things.
And to be fair, I am coming to the place of like being a troll mostly and very much not a social justice warrior.
Right.
Like, in a lot of ways, I think that I am on the right side of this.
Interesting.
On the screen right.
Huh.
Of, like, in terms of like what I do, also
like the actions that you'd be taking.
No.
Oh.
Absolutely not.
Wait. What?
Like no.
What
all mean? No. All of the actions that that person takes on the right are very much like. Fuck feminism and like,
well, those are like the ideas, but like the tactics, you mean? That's what I meant.
Yes, the tactics are what I identify with more,
right?
Like, are the like and that's another thing I like about the reflective way in which this game works, where the social justice warriors also sort of engage in direct tactics about fuck you.
Yeah.
To like take over the trolls or to run over the trolls.
Right.
I just have problems with this game.
Yeah.
And
do you think that it has to do with like, does it seem genuine? Like, does it seem like the person knows what they're talking about who made it?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
It seems like someone who has been involved in fighting with people on the internet.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, maybe the kindest thing I can say about this game.
Right.
But also, there are things about this. There are systems involved in this that feel like they should be balanced and don't feel like they're unintentionally, or they're, that don't feel like they're intentionally unbalanced.
Oh yeah, no, they're not. Like they're, it's not intentionally unbalanced to make you just like at the end of the day, you're not gonna like lose your patience and then like, you know, like you just lose the game. Like it's not like you're losing your patience and you're like gonna lose or like there's nothing to overcome. You know, it's like they're just stats. They weren't very well balanced. Like you'll probably lose. And what did we learn? Like nothing.
I mean, you learn that you can hit. Don't fight for social justice at the menu screen, and then you get a congratulations and a credits.
Wait, what?
Yeah, if you hit exit when you start the game,
uh-huh.
When you very first start before you actually play it,
yeah,
it basically says you win, and then it shows you the credits, and then you can exit.
I don't get it. I'm so confused.
I mean, the game is basically saying like. You can fight for social justice, you can look at the options, you can look at the credits, you can look at whatever else, or you can not fight for social justice.
Right.
And if you choose not fight for social justice, it's like, hey, good job, bye.
Why does it say that?
because the only way to win is not to play.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What? I don't... So they are trying to troll, like...
So our next game...
Jesus. So really, I think really what this game is about is just, like... Because I didn't press Don't Fight for Social Justice, because I play every game, like, I'm taking an exam or something, and I have to choose the right answers.
Right.
Which Ben does not. Ben plays specifically to try and break everything in the game.
I hate video games.
We hate them in different ways, though.
True.
So, we're going to talk about two games next at the same time, because they're kind of similar. They are Particle Mace and We Are Doomed.
Yes.
And
I feel like we should kind of... We're talking about the same at the same time, but I want to hear what you have to say about Particle Mace really quick.
Okay. So Particle Mace was interesting. They're both like top-down sort of spaceship-y kind of like... Shoot all the...
They're geometry wars.
Yeah. Blow up all the stuff that's flying around you. Yeah. Kind of.
With a twist.
With a twist. Particle Mace is... Your little ship carries around this sort of like cluster of little kind of particles, I guess. They're all identical. They don't really do anything except kind of like... swing around your ship, and you can kind of fling them in a direction. They like seem to have like a lot of mass, but they don't affect your ship's mass. Your ship only affects their mass,
right?
So you can kind of fling these little balls around to blow up stuff around. You don't actually have like a weapon of any sort.
And I feel like it's worth saying that it is a bunch of little balls that are attached to strings. So each of them are kind of independent.
But they must all have like really, really similar code that sort of makes them all want to go to the same place. So they mostly stay together.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like the thing that splits them is like, oh, like 2/3 of them go on one side of your ship and 1/3 of them goes on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of
like stop.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I think that maybe there might be something going on where it's like one of them, like one of those little points causes like one point of damage to like something that it hits. So if you hit them with like all of them, I wasn't really aware of anything like that.
Right.
But I was kind of frustrated by this game because I thought it had the potential to be like pretty interesting. Like I really like the idea of, for one, I'm like really interested in like physics coding, and I really wanted to sort of see I really wanted this ball that you're flinging around to have more personality, and it just didn't really. Like,
yeah,
it kind of felt stiff. Like it felt like it might be on a spring, but yeah. Like it didn't really feel like it was a mace or like it was dangerous. It just felt like you kind of had like a kind of, for some reason, deadly like dandelion floating behind you. Like, yeah. It didn't really make me feel like I was wielding this like dangerous thing. And I'm not sure that that was the point, but it was doing some damage, and I didn't feel like it should.
It was, yeah, when I was playing it, it was very much like I immediately went to like, oh, I'm gonna like make like small circles with my ship so that the mace behind me like,
yeah,
swings and like fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And then like after doing that for like a minute, I was like, what if I like stopped? Like I just stopped my ship. Like does the stopped mace hit things? And it doesn't. But like the second it starts moving, it breaks everything.
Yeah.
So there's no like, there's no benefit to gaining a bunch of momentum and just swinging this circle of particles, yeah, around you. It's just like moving, kill, not moving, don't.
Right. Like it doesn't, there were just like, I think that went from like being like an interesting concept to being not very interestingly executed. I think that was the problem.
It's not satisfying.
Yeah. It's not satisfying. It's and it, like, could, it could be like, it totally could be like, give me,
yeah,
like this, like, give me something where like you're flying the ship, you are about to hit something, so you stop really quick, but your ball's going too fast and it swings past you and drags you into it.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, that would suck, but, like, that I'd be like, oh, like, I need to avoid that, and it would sort of make an interesting game. Like, I want to see an interaction with this thing, because that's, like, that's your thing. Like, if you don't have, like, weapons, and you're not trying to hone that skill, though, what are you trying to hone? Like, nothing, because it doesn't really have a person. It doesn't do anything. It's kind of, if anything, just an extension of your ship that blows things up. It's not really, it doesn't have a
that
thing.
You can't really, like, make tactical.
That you can't, yeah.
You can, I'm sure if you get very good at the game, you can make tactical decisions around it.
But it doesn't want you to get good at it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the creator wants you to get good at it, but it doesn't invite you to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And that's
just because, again, like, to me, it's just because, like, there's no sense of, like, a randomness that you need to kind of control. I think that's like one of the great things about what makes a game good. Especially like a twitchy game like this, where you're just trying to, like, blow up all the shit that's around you.
Right.
Like, you're sort of just trying to minimize the randomness with your skill, and or minimize the effects of the randomness with your skill, kind of.
Right.
And I just didn't really feel like there was enough. I just felt like, okay, I'm flying a ship with the thing that blows things up.
So this brings us to We Are Doomed,
yeah.
Which I understand you liked a lot more than Particle Mace.
I like the idea of Particle Mace a lot more. Like,
yeah.
I think I could probably play Particle Mace for longer, because
you would rather make Particle Mace than We Are Doomed, probably, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like you sort of, we played it together tonight, and
yeah.
You like got through a little bit and then stopped, and then I played a little bit, and when I was playing, you were very interested in a lot of the things it did.
Yeah.
What was the specific thing that you mentioned?
I really liked how both these games had good, satisfying, particle effects and like explosions and stuff to let you know what was happening.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to like an arcadey kind of game. I mean, yes. It's important to every game, I think, but like, I think
especially important.
Yeah. You want things like pop out at you and be like, you got a point or whatever. And both these games did a good job.
Yeah.
But I think that definitely,
We Are Doomed
was
not a good name.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I want that game to have, like, a name that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's, like, one word.
Yeah.
And I can't, like Tetris, for example. Like, what does that even mean? But if it's perfect. It's could it be anything else? No, it couldn't be. Anyway, I think that We Are Doomed did a really good job just, like, popping things out at you, showing how many points you had. Like, all the colors are really nice. Like, there was tons of stuff going on, but I was never really that lost, even though I'm not really familiar with these kinds of games.
Right.
Which is cool.
Did you play Geometry Wars at all?
I played it, like, once or twice.
Okay.
Like, I know of the game, and I know of the style. And,
yeah.
And it was cool to, like, jump into a game, especially, again, like, a game that's just randomly on itch, where I think it's really easy for you to find stuff that, like Particle Mace, that has like a good concept, but will sort of like not really hit it on the head because they didn't have enough people play it and sort of be like, or the designer might have not had enough intuition to kind of be like, this doesn't feel good, or like my eyes are getting lost in here or whatever. Cause like in We Are Doomed, you could easily get lost, but it seemed there were tons of colors, tons of stuff, and it always felt like I knew where I was. I think that had to do with the giant beam shooting out of your face.
See, that's actually the thing I like least about We Are Doomed.
Really?
So, as someone who did play kind of a lot of Geometry Wars back in whenever the fuck that came out, 2007, 2008, the one thing I actually really still love about that game, and which I didn't really think about until I played We Are Doomed, is that for as tight as it is, there is a... How do you phrase this? So, the controls of Geometry Wars, are the twin stick shooter, right? It is left stick moves you around, right stick shoots. The thing that was most satisfying about Geometry Wars for me, as someone who did not ever get particularly good at it, was shooting in a predictive way, where the enemies would come up and they would be the enemies that, say, chase you, that very uncomplicatedly chase you, and they would chase you and you would shoot at them, but you would shoot a couple extra shots because you were shooting bullets that would just slowly travel. They were fast, but slowly travel, and the enemies would sort of circle into them and die as you were shooting something else. So it was a way of being like, it was a sort of sticky friction, to use Tim Rogers' term. It was like, here is a thing I am going to do that is going to affect the game while I am focused on something else in this game.
Yeah.
Whereas with a beam, it's like, I'm pointing, here I'm pointing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it made it more kind of like...
It was fucking frustrating, is what it was. It was like, I played, I think, like 7 or 8 lives in We Are Doomed. I think the first life I played, I got to like level, or to wave 11. And then I got to wave 2, and then to wave 5, and then to wave 6. And then I got to wave 13 and was like, I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of this. I just feel like I'm better at pointing the right analog stick where it needs to be.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like getting better. It didn't feel like knowing ahead of time what I should do. It was just like, oh, I saw that there's a thing next to me here. So, like, I let go of where I am, and then I turn it that way, and it's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. Like...
I think it's interesting what you said about stuff being far away and, like, being able to hit those things by accident. Because once you realize that you're doing that as a player, then you begin to do it on purpose and go, mm-hmm. like, oh, shit. Like, I can tag you from here... Because I saw myself accidentally do it once. Yeah. Like I can sort of take extra steps. What?
It's like playing Hanzo in Overwatch. It's you played Widow a few times. You've missed all of your shots. You play Hanzo, you take that same shot, and you're like, how the fuck did I hit that? And then you play him a few times more, and you're like, oh, I can hit that reliably. And you could probably do that with Widow, too, but you have to hit it the first time with her. Like, Widow is a hit scan. Hanzo is a projectile.
Yeah.
That is a kind of a breakdown of how I play video games in a lot of ways. Like, I want projectiles over hit scan. I am not good at first-person shooters. I am not good at
third-person
shooters. I'm not good at video games, is what I'm saying.
Geez, that's not true.
It is true.
Okay, so wait. Back to... Is there anything else you wanted to add about We Were Doomed? I mean, I feel like it was really straightforward. It was just like a solid sort of take on Geometry Wars with a short range beam as opposed to bullets.
And I wouldn't,
maybe wasn't the best choice.
I wouldn't have so many complaints about it if it wasn't solid.
Yeah.
In what it does.
Yeah.
Like it is very good.
When a game's well put together, it means a lot, and it can sort of like, what do you want to say?
It doesn't have bombs.
It has a hyper beam or whatever.
Super beam. That's not bombs. That's not bombs.
That's just a bigger version.
It's not bombs. So okay. Like, as someone who plays a lot of shmups, and as someone who has played a good number of twin stick shooters, the thing with a bomb is it's a life. A bomb is an extra life.
Because you're about to die and you can just...
Use it.
Use it, yeah.
Yes, and it teaches you how not to die.
True.
It has a very specific purpose. And, like, so specific that it is built into every shoot 'em up's, like, scoring system. And not having that is just, like... Like, so there is a shoot 'em up that I really love called Esprade. Esprade. Or Espigaluda.
What?
I don't know how to pronounce it. There is a shoot 'em up that I really love called Espigaluda.
Okay.
It has bombs, but they aren't that important. In the sense that bombs are the most important things in most shoot 'em ups.
Right.
Mostly what it has is a hyper beam, basically. And that game does that really well. Because what it does is, like, you have to absorb bullets to power it up. And then when you shoot it, you fuck everything up. When I'm shooting the super beam in We Are Doomed, I'm probably killing everything on the screen. But it's also, like... obscuring everything on the screen. Yeah. So, like,
that is the one part where it's kind of like hard to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Also, the problem with the hyper beam in that game is super beam in that game is that you kill everything so fast that it's like I usually get it and then like the level just ends and then I have the super beam like while yep. the next level's loading and yep. then I just waste it. Like that to me was like a pretty obvious like design choice of like give me some rollover hyper beam minutes, you know?
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's I mean, yeah.
But
it's just there are a lot of little things that are frustrating about that game, mm-hmm. which would not be frustrating if it wasn't a really interesting and like solid basis for a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. It was totally worth downloading for free and playing.
Yeah.
Which actually is saying a lot because there's a lot of games you can do that with. So
yes.
I would do it.
There are hundreds and thousands of those.
Are there hundreds and thousands?
Hundreds and thousands, not hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
There is probably hundreds of thousands of games that you can download for free that are not worth your time.
Are there? Are there hundred? Have we reached a point where there's hundreds of thousands of free games?
Yeah.
You think so? You think there's hundreds of thousands?
Have you never been to addictinggames.com? Have you never been to fucking...
Yeah. Oh my God. No, I have, but like hundreds of thousands is a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what the actual number of games, of free games in existence is.
Of free games? I mean, there have been free games since the beginning of games. That's, what, 73 with Pong?
Right now, at this time.
64 at this with time, Space
right
War?
Now, if I can go on the internet and just, like, go download a free game right now. I don't mean like the history
Yeah,
of
you can.
I know I can. Jeez, I'm saying, like...
I mean, yeah, that's more complicated because a lot of shit doesn't exist anymore. A lot of games that really ought to have been archived in some way aren't. And we'll talk about that on a future episode.
Yeah.
So, we said at the beginning that we would come back to Playdate really quick.
Really quick. We just wanted to say that we have a...
Yes.
We both... We co-organize an event called Playdate. It's at the LA Zine Fest. And we think that these games that we talk about here share a lot in common with zines. And last year, we talked to the organizers there, and we had games shown alongside zines, and it was super fun. A lot of people came out to the Zine Fest and were able to like take a break and sit down and play some small games.
We had 10 games, I think.
I think it was like 10-ish games.
10 yeah. or 12 games. Yeah. There were what, like a few thousand people at Zine Fest?
Yeah.
Would you say that's right? Like,
I think there's around 10,000 people.
Around 10,000,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, not everyone who went there played, but a good number of people
there was never a time when, here's the thing, there was never a time when somebody wasn't playing a game. And that's actually kind of a big deal, because you show your game sometimes at like shows. You might be standing around for a bit while people walk by. I mean, not all the time, but it was cool to see like, it was cool to see like all of our creators. I remember I was so anxious that nobody would play any games. So I was like, people coming to like buy zines and like cassette tapes and stuff, like why would they sit down and play video games? But
then like, not only did like, you know, people who were very involved in zines show up and play, like we had Octobo there, and yeah, that's a game with a plush octopus that has an iPad inside of it,
yeah,
and a storybook involved. And like, I remember looking over like, I don't know, a dozen times during the Zine Fest, and just like a literal child would be playing with Octobo, just like,
yeah,
reading the story, the children's book story that was involved with it, and like hugging this octopus. And it was like, not only was it like there were so many people there, it was, there were so many different people than you would expect to be playing video games in
right,
public.
Right.
Like from literal toddlers,
yeah,
to like, I remember at one point I was working the booth, and there was like a dude who was probably in his late 50s just came up to me and was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "Oh, we're showing games as part of Zine Fest." And he was like, "I'm a photographer. I love this. I want to talk to you a bunch." And he talked to me a bunch, and it was kind of weird because he was very old and very excited and didn't really have any idea of what he was talking about, but it was exciting. Like,
wait, how old is he?
He was in his 50s.
Very old.
He was very old. He was basically dead.
There were literal toddlers, and then there were mummies, 50-year-olds, everybody.
His bones were sticking out through his clothes. Not even... He had skin, he had clothes, the bones were outside the clothes. It was fucked up. 50-year-olds, man.
50-year-olds who like video games.
No, he did not like video games, that he was didn't. The thing.
Right.
He had no idea what video games were, but he was really excited about it. And that was really exciting to me.
That's just generally the crowd you get at Zine Fest, though. Like, people are just pretty... I think I was really anxious that, like, it wasn't going to work out. But the folks at Zine Fest are just, like, really excited about, I think, just exploring new sort of expression and content. And like, self-expression sort of,
yeah,
more... That's kind of, like, the whole vibe of Zine Fest. And so, yeah, that's cool to see.
And so we're coming back for Zine Fest 2017, which is in May.
Yes, it's going to be in early May, I'm pretty sure.
Early May, yeah. And our submissions are opening alongside the Zine Fest submissions on January 30th,
yes,
which is probably passed by the time this is out. So our submissions are probably open.
Yeah.
And they will be for a minute. We're not really sure when they're ending. Probably April?
Yeah.
Like, just before April, the beginning of April.
Yeah, so February through April, go to playdategameshow.com. And submit your game and tell your friends to submit their games. It's
and
a really
we'll
fun event.
Have a lot of fun with a lot of old people. A lot of very old people.
Oh my god.
The oldest people. And toddlers.
And stuffed octopuses.
Thank you. I am Ben Gabriel. I am a freelance writer. You can find me on Twitter at Ben Laden, like BenLaden.
And I'm Bella Messix, a game developer, I think. And you can find me at Bella Messix, BelaMessex.